group even wrote about the rights of their own children and about wanting to forge links between us. The day of the vote came, and for the first time in our memory, there was peace, if only for a day, in Colombia. No child was hurt or even threatened. We had hoped that maybe 500,000 young people would take part, but more than 2.7 million children and adolescents turned up at the polls. In some of the most violent towns like Apartado, almost every single person between the ages of 7 and 18 took part in the vote. Everywhere, children chose the right to life and the right to peace as the most important for themselves and their communities and the most abused in Colombia. I read the story of our election on the front page of our country's largest newspaper, El Tiempo. We were only children. We had no power, but we were making our country sit up and listen to us because our ideas about the war and about the need for peace were important. I was amazed and happy, and yet I knew it was only the beginning. A long struggle lay ahead.
So Farless's story ended with the same UNICEF workshop that Juan Elias described in his chapter. This time around, we learned a little more about it. When Farless told us about the children's vote, or mandate, we found out that it almost didn't take place because the head of UNICEF in Bogota was afraid of the violence. But Farless helped to convince him to let the vote happen, showing once again what a strong, brave, and determined person she is. Let's go on to the next chapter on page 54.